Please remain standing for our scripture lesson coming to us from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Words written to elect exiles. Starting verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ! Exclamation point. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Well, good morning, my church family here at Redeemer Presbyterian Church. My immediate family has been traveling the last couple of weeks away from you, so it's good to be back home. It's my pleasure this morning to share the gospel, some good news with you from 1 Peter chapter 1. But before we begin, let's pause a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing your perfect will to us. We pray you would give us sensitive eyes and ears to see and hear what you're saying to us this morning, soft hearts to believe it, and strong wills to apply it in the days to come. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. At Caterpillar's Peoria Proving Ground, the expert operator pushed the machine to its limits. The design team had planned tests. The machine had to pass them in order to prove that it was worthy for demanding customer applications. Even though the engineers had already spent years designing the machine, this testing process resulted in a further refined machine. And after iterations of this intentional testing, the new product had finally proved that it was ready for the marketplace. This morning, I want you to consider that life in a fallen world is a proving ground for true faith. Our good and sovereign God, he designed us. He plans specific and intentional tests to refine us and to perfect us along the way to glory. We may be tempted at times to see these tests as mistakes, accidents, blind chances. We may even struggle to trust Christ through them. But when we do that, we so often give away our joy in Christ, and we miss the point of these trials. But when we trust Christ, even if we don't pass all these tests that come our way perfectly, we will experience joy, and we will be perfected along the way, and we'll demonstrate to the world around us that our God is good, and our faith is real, and it works. Let's turn our attention now to 1 Peter. Peter wrote this letter to circulate to saints. They were scattered around five provinces. And we have a lot in common with them. As I read through this letter, see, like them, we gather in a congregation to worship. We have elders who watch over us and pray for us. And we live in a mostly non-Christian world like they did. We live under various authorities, and not all of our authorities share our faith. We're tempted like they were, and we're not perfect. Well, the particular commonality that we'll focus on this morning is that just like them, we endure trials. None of us are exempt from this. But in the end, the most important thing that we share in common with these believers is that we love Jesus. And this is the reason why we can rejoice through these tests of this life and actually claim that they're good for us. The main point that I want to communicate to you this morning is that since joy is found in Jesus Christ, we should trust Him through all our trials. This week, brothers and sisters, your faith in Christ will be tested. And from this passage, I want to share with you three gospel truths. These three gospel truths, they're going to help you pass three common tests that we're going to face in the proving ground of life in a fallen world. So the first test we'll talk about a little bit challenges us to know where our true satisfaction is found. This test often occurs in the middle of our disappointments. And during this test, we need to remember the good news that we have a living hope in Jesus Christ. And this living hope can bring us through any disappointment. Since we have a living hope in Jesus Christ, we should trust Him for our satisfaction. Later in this letter, we learn the recipients didn't always pass this test. Chapter 1, verse 14 says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance." And chapter 1, verse 18 says, "You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers." So in the past, these Christians were ignorant of a living hope in Christ, and they lived foolishly. But even after beginning to hope in Christ, at times they'd stray away from Him. Chapter 2, verse 25 says, "For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." No matter what it was that these Christians were looking for when they walked away from Christ, they were looking for satisfaction somewhere. And ultimately, they'd be disappointed because they were looking for satisfaction away from Christ. This is why Peter starts his letter the way he does. He reminds them in chapter 1, verse 3, of their living hope in Christ. He writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." There's a modern-day prodigal son story on the International Bible Society website. A man called Moses grew up in a Christian family in China. He left home when he was 20 to start a business. As it turns out, he actually started multiple businesses, and he began to make a significant amount of money. He says, "I became puffed up as I made more and more money, and I wandered away from God farther and farther." Along the way, he married, and he had children, but he says he often neglected them, as he claims, "I began to indulge in all kinds of carnal satisfactions." But one day he found himself in an event, and he heard some Bible teaching about how men should follow Christ and lead the family. And as he listened, he became convicted about his own sin and how far he had strayed away from God. In repentance and in faith, he called his wife and asked her for forgiveness, seeking to be reconciled to her. And in time, God brought them back together. He also realized how poor in spirit he was. He says, "Money used to be my God and satisfaction, but eventually it didn't bring me true satisfaction." Later, Moses went on to invest his time and his energies in ministry rather than in money making. You see, Moses had looked for satisfaction in money and in relationships outside of God's provision, and he was disappointed. But when he trusted in Christ, he found his satisfaction in him. Brothers and sisters, what tempts you to stray away from Jesus and look for satisfaction somewhere else? When do you experience disappointment? Your answer to these questions may describe a proving ground test that God has designed for you. Perhaps you look for success or a human relationship to satisfy you. Success and relationships aren't bad things. These are good blessings from God. But if we don't pursue them by faith in Christ, they can become idols to us. And these idols will always fail to deliver the satisfaction that we think they promise to us, and we'll be disappointed. So in application, let your disappointments lead you to Christ. When you sense them, remember the ultimate living and abiding hope you have in Christ. Turn away from your false hopes and keep God, keep Christ at the center of your good pursuits. Where else can you really turn? In chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory." Since we have a living hope in Jesus Christ, we should trust him for our satisfaction. There's another truth in this passage for another common test in this proving ground of life. Not only are we tested about our source of satisfaction, but we're also tested about our source of security. This test often occurs in the middle of uncertainties, when things seem very unsettled to us in life. Well, the gospel truth to us in these times is that we have a sure inheritance in Jesus Christ. And this sure inheritance can bring us through any uncertainty. Family, we can bank our lives on Christ. Since we have a sure inheritance in Jesus Christ, we should trust him for our security. The believers reading this letter must have felt unsettled and insecure at times. Later in this letter, we learn the unbelieving world around them, they would insult their lifestyle choices. Chapter 4, verse 14. The world would put these Christians on their heels and challenge them to give a defense for the hope that they have in Christ. Chapter 3, verse 15. Some of these believers were servants. They even worked for unjust employers, and they'd be punished for things they didn't do wrong. Chapter 2, verse 20. To believers living in seemingly insecure and uncertain circumstances, Peter wrote to them about a sure inheritance. In chapter 1, verse 4, we read, "He's caused us to be born again to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." I really like the idea of permanence. When I buy a new car, I want it to be new forever. I want it to maintain that new car smell. I wash it, I wax it, I vacuum it, I keep it in the garage. If the weather's going to be bad, I leave it at home. I choose my parking places very carefully. But the first time I took my new car, first time in for service, the technician had a problem with the lift, and he put a dent in the driver's side front fender. It was defiled. Not only was the fender bent out of shape, but I was too. Christian, what is unsettling you this morning? When do you experience uncertainty? What do you want or do you need to feel secure? Your answer to these questions may describe a proving ground test that God has designed for you. Perhaps you're waiting for some test results from the doctor, and you really want, maybe even think you need, for them to be favorable. Perhaps you want to retire with some financial cushion, but your investment value fluctuates in the volatile markets. Or perhaps you're a young woman, or you know a young woman who's waiting for a young man, a Christian, maybe Reformed, Presbyterian, strong, funny, good-looking, to take notice of you. But you wonder if and when it will ever happen. We want and need certainty, perfection, and permanence, but nothing in this world can deliver on these needs. We need a person. We need Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says, "We were bought, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." In application, look to Christ in the middle of your uncertainties. When you do, you'll pass the test and prove that your test, your faith is real. Chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Since we have a sure inheritance in Jesus Christ, we should trust Him for our security. Well, so far we've heard the good news of Jesus Christ is relevant when we're in the middle of disappointments, when we're struggling with uncertainties. But in this last section, we'll learn that the gospel also speaks to us when we're afraid. The third test challenges us to know where we find our true safety. In life, we can often feel weak and vulnerable. And during these times, we need to remember the good news that we have a perfect protector in Jesus Christ. And His protection can bring us through anything that is frightening. Since we have a perfect protector in Jesus Christ, we should trust Him for our safety. Later in this letter, Peter instructs his readers not to be afraid. He says in chapter 3, verse 6, "And you are her children," speaking about Sarah, Abraham's wife, "if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening." In chapter 3, verse 14, he writes, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled." So knowing that as recipients faced and they continue to face frightening situations, Peter reminds his readers of their perfect protector. In chapter 1, verse 5, he writes, "Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Guarded. In the Old Testament, in Numbers 13 and 14, we read about some of God's people who forgot about where to find their true safety. The beginning of Numbers 13 says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the people of Israel.' So Moses called on a representative from each of the 12 tribes. He sent them out. And in chapter 13, verses 27 to 28, we begin hearing the report that they bring back, at least that 10 of them brought back. We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit, and they're showing an enormous bunch of grapes. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. So later in chapter 14, verse 3 records the fearful response that begins to spread around God's people. And we hear them say, "Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt to be slaves again?" As the story continues, we learn that their lack of faith and trust in God was actually a much more dangerous situation than entering the promised land. You see, the Lord says of them in chapter 14, verse 12, "I'll strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them." God's people forgot that the safest place to be is in the will of God, even when there is extreme adversity. And the most dangerous place to be is running away from the will of God, even if it seems to be the most comfortable. They knew God's will, but they didn't trust His goodness in it. They saw the big, bad, strong world, and they backed down. Christian, when do you experience fear? Your answer to this question may describe a proving ground test that God has designed for you. Are you afraid of the big, bad world that will continue to make decisions that counter your views of true love, marriage, morality? Are you a parent and afraid your child will be overly influenced by this big, bad world and make poor choices? Maybe you're a student. Maybe you've lied to your parents about the grade you got on the last test, and you're afraid to tell the truth because you think that your parents won't listen to you, love you, and forgive you. When we live out of fear rather than out of faith to do the right thing, so often we give away our joy in Christ. In the midst of the fears of this life, do good and trust in Christ. And when you do, you'll experience what Peter describes in chapter 1, verse 9, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In further application this morning, when we're afraid, we should pray to our perfect protector. Toward the end of this letter, all the way in chapter 5, verse 7, Peter directs his readers, "Casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you." Where else can you really turn when you're afraid? Christians, trust in Christ, and we can sing with joy the following stanza from our closing hymn, which we will sing in a few minutes. "The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake." Since we have a perfect protector in Jesus Christ, we should trust him for our safety. In conclusion, life in this fallen world is a proving ground for true faith. The tests we endure, they're not mistakes. They're not accidents. They're specifically designed for you and me by our good and sovereign God to prove, refine, and strengthen our faith in Christ. The tests challenge us where we look for our satisfaction, where we look for our security, and where we look for our safety. They often occur in the midst of our disappointments, uncertainties, and fears. So our merciful God reminds us of the good news that in Christ we have a living hope, which it can bring us through any disappointment, a sure inheritance, which can bring us through any uncertainty, and the perfect protector who can bring us through any fear. As we trust in Christ, even if we don't pass all the tests perfectly, we will experience joy, and we will be perfected along the way, and we'll prove to the world around us that our God is good and our faith is real and it works. And you'll obtain the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.